My talk today is called Many Teachers, Many Travels, Many Songs. And I was thinking of an introduction and thinking that my life, which is really not unusual, because we all have usual and unusual lives. We're all on a quest. And that quest kind of starts when we're born and kind of ends when we pass out of this body. But in another sense, since I believe we've been going on forever, it's an eternal quest. And the questions that I ask, if I put them in a general enough way, are probably the same questions that all of us ask. And I know as a kid, I was asking a lot of these questions because I looked around me and I saw and I thought. I had a lot of time to think because I was very introverted, still somewhat introverted. And I would ask, why am I here? And I know my life in this body is not forever, but what's going to happen afterwards? And another question that came when I was released from the family, let's say, well, you're never released from your family, but you know, when it was time to move on and I had to get a job and take care of myself is, what kind of job do I get? What kind of career? Who's going to want me? What should I do? Can I do something that's meaningful to myself and meaningful to the community? Or can I just plain have some kind of a trade so I can take my place? You know, I had all those questions. What do I do? You know? And then, of course, another one that happened, too, was who am I going to spend my life with? You know? All these things. Or who's going to want to spend their life with me? You know? I mean, really, it's one thing to go out for an evening, another thing to spend your whole life with someone. So those were things that came into my mind. Before I go any further, I'm going to do a prayer too, since I am a practitioner. But it doesn't matter because I've been told we're all practitioners. I just happen to have a license, you know, which is fine. I know that God is everywhere. I have no doubts of that. And God is everything and everyone, from the smallest of atoms to all my plant and animal friends, to people, and to the mysterious universe beyond this earth. God is everywhere. And God is in my life, and God is good, and I am good because I am actually a slice of that eternal pie, I call it, that delicious pie called God. And I am love, and I am delicious, and I am wise, and I am wonderful, and I am powerful. But all these things that I am, which is quite a word, is because I'm not all God, but I certainly am a big hunk of God, a hunk of love, right? And being that, I know that whatever I need to do, whatever the God-inspired part of me needs to do and wants to do can be done, including this talk today, saying what needs to be said, sung what needs to be sung, and I am also open and ready for what needs to be said by others. And if we're going to write a song together, that's fine. But whatever really needs to happen will and is happening right now. I'm grateful for this situation, this time, even the weather, my operating car and everybody else's that brought them here, every single individual in this room, and all those who will eventually perhaps hear this presentation. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. There's nothing else to say for this prayer to be complete, and so it is.
So it is.
So, here is a song I wrote way back when, but if you haven't heard it before, it might as well have been written yesterday.
Well, hello.
And I've got to write another name down.
Gail.
Gail. And I know I have seen probably you before, am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
But names have a way of disappearing. But now they're back again. Nice to see you, Gail. Do 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 do. I am a lonesome traveler. I've been known this road so long. Though I was at home for eternity, I've been here for twice as long. I've traveled through the centuries to every corner of the world. But I've got so much to see and do, it'll be a long time till I get home. Do do do. Do 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 do. I've been about most everywhere. I traveled space and I traveled time. And I hope that I have brought some joy with my song and with my rhyme. I know that I have also brought some pain to myself and to the world. And I hope to get to paradise, but it'll be a long time till I get home. Oh, there is a rough and a rugged way that cuts your time about in half. So many times I have bruised myself trying to climb that mountain path. They say up there that it's so beautiful that you never would come down. But I'm stuck here on the bottom, and it'll be a long time till I get home. So I will keep on traveling and let the sunshine be my guide. And if I cause a cloudy day, I hope it hurts inside. I'll let you be the first to know that I'm not happy here. But I got so much to see and do, it'll be a long time till I get home. I've got so much to see and do, it'll be a long time till I get home. Thank you. That's it. That's just kind of a story of my path as I see it, my eternal quest. And since this presentation, this talk, this singing talk is called Many Teachers, Many Travels, Many Songs, I'm going to just mention some of the teachers that I've had. To tell the truth, I've had hundreds and hundreds of teachers, including my cats, past, present, and future, and my dogs. And just everything and everyone is somehow a teacher that you encounter. There's some kind of reason for them. But here's some of the people I just wrote down. Mom and Dad, my brothers, my two brothers, the friends that I had at school. I didn't have a lot of friends, a lot of close friends. Most of them were just classmates, but there were a few good friends. And when I went into college, there were a few more because I was a little more open. And then this whole section, and it's certainly not last but least, girlfriends and wives. I had a wife before. And a few girlfriends, very close relationships. And they did what they could. And I did what I could. And many bosses. I've had many jobs. Many. Some that just lasted for a day or two, and some that lasted for weeks, and some that lasted for maybe a year, you know. Many bosses, and some were nice, and some were not nice. Some were downright mean and nasty. And workmates, some of them were nice, and some of them weren't. And I had some spiritual teachers besides Mom and Dad, who were probably my top. The two genes, as I call them. I moved to Elkins, West Virginia, and stayed there for 5 years to help build a cathedral, as I was telling Connie. It never got built when I was there. It got built after I left. And Gene Gardner, who wrote a book called The Grain of Mustard Seed, I'm sure you could find it, or at least a mention of it. She's still alive. She's still around. She's still praying, and she has a voice she hears. I thought that was why I was moving down there, but it probably more of it was so I could be with and meet my other friend, Jean, who came originally to help Jean Gardner, but they had issues. Her name was Jean Brown, and she was from Richmond, Indiana. And she was sort of like a mother for me, but she was more than that. She was a friend, and she was a spiritual master. Very ordinary-looking lady, short and dumpy, as she used to say. But she was a powerful, loving, beautiful woman. I'm letting the lump get out of my throat. And other people. Wayne Dyer. He doesn't know me. He's seen me. I was a little speck in the audience. And Reverend Jim Lockard, who is a minister. Have you heard of him? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a prominent minister in the religious science movement. Reverend Jeffrey, who died, he was another one at the Baltimore Church where I'm still a member, although I don't go there very often because I'm singing. Also, all these different people. I want to talk a little bit more about Mom and Dad, but I want to just let you know that our teachers need the capo. Oh, here it is. Everything's in place. That our teachers, of course, are not just our friends, like right here, people who are nice and understanding and give us a break, even if we mess up a little bit, folks in here. We have that training and that background. But also people who can't stand us or want to pick on us, be mean to us. I've been thinking about people who in school I felt at times very picked on or ignored, you know, particularly in elementary. I was in a private school. I felt very out of place. And I was very shy, and some people take advantage of that. And, you know, that was rough. But, you know, that's me. I'm not the only shy person who's been picked on.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't have to be shy, but enough of that. And then I had, as I said, I had some mean bosses, and I had one who totally changed, set me upside down and changed my life when I was teaching school, you know. And she was in for me in the beginning of the year, me and another teacher next to me. She picked us out. She said, I'm going to get rid of two people this year. And two of you are in this room right now, and I'll find out who you are, and I'll get rid of you. You know, what a way to start a year. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just kind of thinking, oh, that might be me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much that thought helped, but, you know, somebody was going to get it. Mm-hmm. And it happened to me, you know. And she was just She had a lot of problems, and what can I say? I have many memories of friends and family, and plenty too of perfect strangers who gave their love to me. Oh, everyone who's graced my will and made this life for me. So here's to you, yes, all of you. We might have a good dance. My friends and enemies. My friends and enemies. Friends have tried to heal my mind in times when I was down, and family people, all of them, each one of them should count. But others too who meant me wrong, for I have wronged ones too, for they have only made me strong. My friends and enemies. My friends and enemies. No matter what they had to say, no matter what they've done, they've often turned my life around. Just see what I've become. For I've reclaimed this old guitar and thrown away the blues. I've got to thank my lucky stars for friends and enemies. For friends and enemy. Yeah. Who knows? If you think about it, some of these awful things that happen to us. And I've heard people who've had more awful things than I've experienced happen to them, and yet they've recovered somehow. And in fact, they've gotten better. I'm kind of into the next section, and this is all about the different quests. I was saying that we have this one quest, in a sense, which is our lifetime. Just exploring the earth and finding out why we're here. But then there are some of these within this earth consciousness that we have. Getting tools, let's say, from school, from childhood, from our parents, hopefully. Coping tools. You know, maybe they were bad parents and we're just learning how to cope with some of the bad that's thrown at us before we're let go. But, you know, whatever the tools are. We get these tools, and then we have some different quests. Well, my first wife's name was Carol, and she actually was a good person. We just somehow couldn't stay married forever. But we actually remained friends, and we had a daughter, and I love my daughter. Carol passed on. But the Carol that really is interesting in my life is Carol number one, as I call her. And she had just come out of a relationship. Her boyfriend let her go. This is when I was in college. And my roommate thought, oh, I had just lost a girlfriend. This might be a good one for you. And so we came involved. And there were some issues that came up because I was pretty new to this boyfriend-girlfriend thing. And I got to stop and ask this gentleman what his name is, because I'm getting everybody's name.
Verity. Verity.
Verity.
Yes.
Like verity for truth?
Yes.
V-E-R-I-T-Y?
That's right.
Thanks. There we go. Yeah.
Hello, everybody.
It's sort of like verily, verily, I say unto you, but verity. Verity, the truth. Well, I know when I hear something from you, Verity, you won't be messing around. You'll be saying it like it is. So anyway, keeping abreast of the time,
we don't have more
15 more minutes, so I'll just have to keep moving. Yeah, so I don't know where I was. So basically we didn't get along, and there were some problems, and I was so upset I couldn't do schoolwork anymore, and also thinking about the Vietnam draft. This was back in 1967 and 68. And so I left school, and I went to California to face the draft, and I did lots of traveling. And that was kind of a quest for me, finding myself. I had never been quite that independent before. You know, hitchhiked all the way out there with a friend, and then he went somewhere and I went somewhere else. And that was one. Another thing that happened, another girlfriend many years later, when I was living back here again, I couldn't find a job. I moved back to D.C. and I was actually living with my parents, who lived on a farm just up Route 7 in Fairfax County. And I had this beautiful, gorgeous Asian girlfriend named Sharon, whom I still miss her, or at least I miss who she was back then, because it's been a long time, and she's happily married to somebody else, or whatever. But when finally she just kind of got tired of somebody who didn't seem to be planning a future or anything like that, and didn't have any, and she was kind of wondering, I'm not much of a prospect for that. That's not how she said it. And that caused me to go on another quest, and that was called having a teaching career. And moving to Baltimore and going to George Mason and stuff like that, you know, to get my credentials. And of course, up the road a little bit, I took some of my pre-education courses right in the community college. So that was a quest for me, making something good, so I thought. Well, the next thing after that that I thought of things that happened to me that were really awful was one of my jobs in the schools, and I thought, oh, I'm in public school now, Baltimore County. They don't pay quite as well as Fairfax County, but they pay pretty well. And the first year was okay. It was challenging. The second year, this principal came on board. And as I said, I ended up being forced to leave. And it was so awful, and it was kind of like with that record, it was hard to get another job again, except I was taught Head Start for a while and stuff like that, and then I quit. But I knew I was on my way downhill, and guess what I'm doing now? This is what I'm doing. I could have probably continued to have some kind of a teaching job, but you know, I said, I'm getting older. I'm not doing what I really love. And you know, I don't think I really wanted to teach in the first place. I just wanted to please Sharon. You know, so that maybe she might want to fall in love with me again and I could be her husband. Well, that didn't work out. I got my own wife now. And another wife. And so, knowing that time is moving on, that's kind of some of those quests. Another thing that I'd like to talk about is death. And when I was a little kid, I was always afraid of dying. And I had this nightmare. And it actually was. It was almost like it was from another lifetime. And my mom got her head chopped off. And that was awful. And guess who was sleeping in a bed not too far from mine? Mom. I woke up and I told her that I had a dream about death. And I was afraid of dying.
and when am I going to die? And why do I have to die and all that stuff? But I never told her in the dream. She's the one that died. And Mom sat up with me, as Mom would do. And I said, Mom was one of my teachers and one of my best friends. Sat up and talked me down. She said, you know, yes, you are going to die. We're all going to die. But you're probably not going to die for a long time because you're just a little kid, so don't worry about it, you know. And we were Christian Scientists. And in the Christian Science magazine, there was an article about how a baby, when their mom is in the room with them, mom is here. But if mom leaves the room and goes to another room, the baby is afraid and thinks mom is totally gone, you know, just because of, that's how kids are at that age. You know, if they don't see you, they kind of think you're not existing anymore and you're not going to come back, you know. And that's kind of the way it is with death. It's just, we're in another room, you know. And I believe we'll see each other again. Just probably not for a while. So, there's a lot to say in a half hour. But this is sort of a lot of my thoughts about the afterlife. And this song is called Heaven. Heaven is the place where I am going. Heaven is the place that I'll call home. It might be a million years before I get there, but I know that someday I'll reach my home. Well, all the 99 were in the pasture, but the little long lost sheep had left the fold. When he finally had been found by the master, he went to tell all the folks back home. Heaven is the place where I am going. Heaven is the place that I call home. It might be a million years before I get there, but I know that someday I'll reach my home. Oh, don't judge a ragged man by his clothing, and don't judge a wino by his bottle of wine, and don't even judge a rich man by his they might be the good Lord in disguise. Heaven is the place where I am going. Heaven is the place that I'll call home. It might be a million years before I get there, but I know that someday I'll reach my home. Thank you. And thinking of, we all experience not only the loss of people in our lives through passing on, but sometimes, like I lost Sharon. I mean, she's still alive, I think, but I just didn't want to see her again. Now, probably I would, but she's gone. And my first cat, I still miss Admiral. That was his name. Admiral Perry Puss Pumpkin Nose. Mom helped me think up that name. And he was just a wonderful cat. And he died from a cat fight because Mom and Dad didn't know back then that you need to spay and neuter your animals and not let them run around free, and then male cats will get into fights and they'll go make other cats pregnant, etc., etc. You know, all this. I'm a cat volunteer now. That's one of the things I do. And you know, it just was very sad, you know, because it was just an unnatural death, and it was just so sad. I would not let them bury him for 3 days. I just kept on checking the box, hoping he was going to come to life again. That's how bad that felt. And then, of course, the other bad thing, well, with Sharon, I cried for days and days. I went out in the woods, and nobody could hear me or see me. And I just cried and cried. And then my teaching career, that about tore me apart when I lost that job. It was just awful, you know, but it was death as far as I was concerned. It could not be revived. It was sort of death by burning at the stake for that one, you know. But, you know, moving on, and let's see if we have time. This is a good one, because life is full. This is a good song to sing. Life is full of changes. Mm-hmm. And we grow stronger, if nothing else. You know, I wanted to talk about all the different things people have taught me, stuff like that. Well, you can never end up. It just goes on and on. But a fact of life, and we all know just by listening to the news. For instance, my guitar gets out of tune. That's change. But that's just part of life. And this song is called Embrace the Change. Spring and summer and winter and fall, they all happen, I love them all. Embrace the change, 'cause it's all about change. A baby is a child, then a woman or a man. This is how it is, it's part of God's plan. Embrace the change, 'cause it's all about change. Change can happen like a big strong breeze that can blow you around and take you to. But we can make the choice to change how we think. We stood on the side, we get all we need. Rain will fall or the sun will shine. Rainy or sunny, all is fine. Embrace the change, 'cause it's all about change. But the weather can't hurt us, me and you, 'cause God is always here saying, I love you. Embrace the change, 'cause it's all about change. Change can happen like a big strong breeze that can blow you around or take you to your knees. Well, we can make the choice to change how we think. The spirit on our side, we get all we need. Love is a gift and changes too. Take away the old thoughts, bring in the new. Embrace the change, 'cause it's all about change. So here comes change, let's take it by the hand. We'll dance in joy as happy as we can. Embrace the change, 'cause it's all about change. Embrace the change, 'cause it's all about change. How are we doing? Gee, we just about, you never get time for everything.
Yep, we're about done.
Well, that's not such a bad way to end with the change. And I notice
that Gail has been doing a lot of writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot to say that if any of you, you probably have some mental notes, thoughts in your head from what's been going on. Well, we're going to do a bit of a workshop activity afterwards, after we take our break. Start out with a prayer and a song, right? And just thinking about our own lives, our own teachers, what has taught us. It could be a person. It could be just a circumstance. It could be a nice person. My dad, I inherited $1 million from my parents, and I used it wisely and built up a big business, kind of like that one parable that Jesus talked about, you know, the three talents, you know. Or, you know, some kind of thing. Or it could be a person who did something purposely mean, and or something happened to you which was tragic, and something good happened out of it, you know, if you feel like sharing it, you know. But we'll talk about that and how I would kind of like to approach that. So I guess we should take a break. And thank you, everybody, for listening. I appreciate it.